This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's Children's Book Week, and this week the Children's Book Council have announced the winners of their Children's Book Week awards. And joining me on the phone now is Dr. Robin Morrow. She is the National President of the International Board on Books for the Young, or IBBY, and she's had quite a long and illustrious career in the world of children's books. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Katrina.
Probably for our listeners, you should just tell us a little bit about your career. I know you founded the Children's Bookshop in Beecroft, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I've been a reader all my life, so I think that's quite a qualification in books. And I opened the Children's Bookshop in 1971. It's nearly 40 years old now, that bookshop, the first specialist children's bookshop in New South Wales. And I've worked with children's books as a bookseller. I've also worked in publishing, and I've taught a lot of courses for people, particularly teacher education courses, and people who are going to work with children's books in their careers, and have done a lot of reviewing and writing about children's literature too.
Mm, and I believe you were at one time, when you were judge of the Children's Book Council?
Yes, the judging is done by a panel. Every state and territory has a judge on that panel, and for 2 years I was the New South Wales judge on that Children's Book Council Awards, and that involved reading every book. It's usually 300 and something books that are submitted. So it's like a book a day for a year, I think, each year that you do it, and write a report and discuss with each other. So it's a very interesting process.
Of course, there's always a fantastic list of shortlisted books, and you've chosen just three of those books to talk about with us today. And I'm sure that parents are going to find this very useful. It's always wonderful to discover new books for your kids, isn't it?
Yes, that's good.
And so what's the first book that we're going to talk about today?
Well, the first book is called Bear and Chook by the Sea by Lisa Shanahan and illustrated by Emma Quay.
Emma Quay did the illustrations for Andrew Dado's Goodnight Me, didn't she?
That's right.
That's a very well-known and much-loved book.
Yes, a lot of parents of young children would know that. And this book about Bear and Chook is a second book about the characters. There was an original Bear and Chook book that came out a couple of years ago. And so the Bear and Chook combination, have been known by quite a few people.
And what happens in this book?
Well, in this book, Bear and Chook have an adventure. They decide to go to the sea, and it's one of those stories with a very strong pattern where the two of them set out, and everything they find on the way from home to the beach, the very anxious Chook, who's always nervous and rather a planner, keeps saying, "I want to go home, I want to go home." But Bear's very adventurous and leads on. But when they do get to the sea, and Bear actually gets dumped by a giant wave, although I shouldn't tell you that, perhaps that's the most important plot adventure, suddenly Bear does change his nature, and all the way home he's the one who says, "I want to go home, I want to go home."
Oh.
So there's quite a lot of humour in it, there's adventure, and I think there's character too. Children, very little children, I mean, you don't talk about character in children's books with little children, but they realise about the characteristics that Bear is very brave and always talking up the adventure, but the Chook may actually have a special kind of bravery in the endurance and the friendship and the comforting. I also love stories and recommend stories that have a strong pattern in them so that children start to recite along with you, really, as you read it. On repeated readings, the "I want to go home, I want to go home," or "I haven't been in where," asked Chook. And so some of these words become part of what you know of by heart, and the anticipation of what will happen next, so that you build up a knowledge, really, about what stories can offer, even if you're only perhaps 2 or 3 or 4 when you're hearing the story read. You're really learning a lot about art and literature in a very painless manner, of course.
Well, that sounds great. And what age would you recommend that one for?
Well, I think you could read it to a very little child, preschool, right up to about 7, I think, the appeal.
Okay. Now, Isabella's Garden by Glenda Millard. Tell us about that one.
Yes. Well, it's another picture book, and it was honoured in the picture book section, which can include quite old books for older children, but in picture book form. It's written by Glenda Millard, and the illustrator, Rebecca Cool, this is her first picture book.
Oh.
She's an established artist, and her style in this book is an interesting folk art style. If you look at it, it looks like something you might see in fabric or painted on wooden boxes with very strong colours, very stylized, and all the characters looking straight out at the viewer, a naive style, you would call it, very very vibrant colours, and it has a special beauty. It's a sort of book where I think, ooh, I wouldn't mind owning the original artwork of this book.
And what's Isabella's Garden about?
Well, it's about a garden, and it's about the life of plants and the way the life cycle goes on. And it's very, once again, very structured. I suppose I favour these books that have a strong pattern that seems to sing itself in your head. It's based on and imitating a very old rhyme, "This is the house that Jack built."
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that might happen in a family, if you read this book with your children, is you might go back and do a revision course by looking up your nursery rhyme book and finding the house that Jack built and reminding yourself about that strongly patterned rhyme that's lasted for hundreds of years. So here, the author, Glenda Millard, has taken the rhyme. For example, it says, "This is the climbing tree, leafy and appled, that speckles the garden with shade deep and dappled, that shelters the chick in the thistle-down vest that was hatched by the bird with the scarlet breast," and so on. Very, very rhythmic, almost like a chant, very beautiful, and it's all about how the seasons occur in a garden and the cycle of life and the whole things growing, needing the water and the sun and so on. So there's a lot in it about gardening. There's a lot in it about the hopefulness of all gardens. It begins and ends with the seeds. And at the very end of the story, the winter comes and there's just an old bird's nest and a handful of seed left. But we know that the pattern will repeat itself and that the life will spring up again in the new season. So
a very hopeful book, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that it's part of that hopefulness that comes through in gardening, that you do know that things are going to regrow.
I like the sound of that, but I have not heard of Glenda Millard before. Is she quite an accomplished author?
Yes, she writes normally, she's written novels for older children. So if you've got young children, you probably don't know her work. And this is a younger book for her. It's not as young as the Bear and Chook book, in my opinion. It's more perhaps from 4 to 9 years, something like that. But, of course, a lot of these books you read when children are very young and they get the rhythm and they love the pictures and then they gradually get in to understand more about the meaning of it.
That's right. Now, you've also chosen a book for slightly older readers, haven't you?
Yes.
Pearl versus the World.
Yes, and this is one more for primary school age. It looks like a little short novel, is what the children at school call it, chapter book, that sort of size, and perhaps more 8 to 12, something like that, or 8 to 11. It's in verse form. It's written as poetry, and it's, and the title has a little bit of a pun in it. It's Pearl versus the World, spelt V-E-R-S-E-S. But it also stands for, I think, Pearl Up Against the World. And it's by Sally Murphy, and it's got lovely little black and white illustrations by Heather Potter that are full of character too.
And what's that one about?
Well, it sounds very serious if I tell you that it's a story about death, but you do need to know that it is a story narrated by this little girl called Pearl, who lives with her mother and her grandmother in a happy threesome at home, and she's really grieving because her mother has, her granny, her beloved granny, as she says, granny is fading. And as Granny is getting older and withdrawn into herself, we're not told exactly, but we understand what's happening to her, Pearl is really miserable about the prospect of Granny having to go into some other home or something like that. And in the book, we do meet the death of the beloved Granny. And Pearl narrates it from her point of view and how it's told to her at school when the principal comes into the room to tell her. And then we do have the scene of Granny's funeral, and it's all to do with poetry writing because Pearl has had a bit of an argument with the not very inspiring teacher, Miss Brough, at school, who wants the children to write poetry with rhyme, and Pearl has said that poems don't have to rhyme. So the book is also about poetry, and at the funeral, Pearl has her wonderful moment where she gets up and reads a poem she has written about her granny, and it doesn't rhyme, and Miss Brough is won over, really.
So okay, well, that sent a shiver down my spine because I remember that moment at school when I had the principal come into my classroom to tell me that my granny died. So I found that a little overwhelming, actually, to hear that.
Well, you will really empathise with this book, and I think quite a few people would have had the experience, but even if they haven't, they will empathise. And the way it's told in verse, churches smell funny and are mostly old and dusty, but they also feel gentle and calm. As we wait to say goodbye, I wish I was calm inside, and so on. It's her view of the funeral, which it's good to have. It's not overdone or unnecessarily grievous. It's just the way it is to a little girl of that age. So I think it's a very poignant story and has lots of things to offer to talk about, perhaps, at home.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Robin, for that selection of three books. We had Bear and Chook by the Sea, Isabella's Garden, and Pearl versus the World. Lovely to talk to you this morning, Robin.
Thank you, Katrina.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.